Psalm 84, verse 10. For a day in thy courts is better than a thousand. I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of wickedness. That's what I felt like reading in your hearing. You can be seated. Now, this is David talking. David was on the battlefield. David was the king of Israel. But did you hear what David said? For a day in thy courts is better than a thousand. David loved to go to church. Is that a good thing? David loved to go to church. He'd rather spend one day in the presence of the Lord than to have a thousand. That's how much he loved the Lord and how much he loved being in his church. Amen. Then he goes on. He said, I had rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of wickedness. So if the Lord will help me for a few minutes, I'd like to preach to you about a doorkeeper. And I'm 57. Whenever I was a boy, churches were abundant all over this land and country. And it wasn't any trouble. They might be a different denomination, but everybody would welcome you in. And those same churches you can go to today, some of them have closed their doors. Some of them have dwindled down to there's just a handful of people left. And I read this week, and it kind of struck me. It said, a decision to stay home is a vote to close the door of the church. Now, that's pretty stout stuff right there. You see, we've got a job, we've got a duty, we've got an obligation. We're to be a doorkeeper. You pray for a few minutes. And so we read about a doorkeeper one time in his day. The world was filled with violence. And men's minds were continually on evil only. In other words, no mercy, no compassion, no love, no empathy. All men could think about was evil. Well, preacher, short it like that. As it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the coming of the Son of Man. That's where we're at. You may not like it, I may not like it, but that's where we're at. Hatred and bitterness spewing continuously in the world we live in today. That's where we're at. Amen. And the Lord saw everything that man had done, and it repented him that he made man. What's that mean? He was sorry that he had made man. He regretted that he had made man. And he said, I'll just destroy them. And he looked at over all of them and over all of humanity. Violence and evil on every hand. But then he looked again.
Yeah.
Yes.
And there was one man.
Bless you, Lord.
And in chapter 6 of Genesis it says this, but Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord.
Yeah.
Yes. Thank you, Lord.
You know why Noah found grace? Because Noah did everything the Lord told him to.
Right.
You know why Noah found grace? Because Noah tried to live right.
Amen.
You know why Noah found grace? Because he had a family that he loved that he wouldn't be saved. Now you've heard the story of Noah in the ark. You know that he preached 120 years. And in that 120 years, that sounds like a long time, probably longer than I'll ever live. But in the 120 years that Noah preached, only 8 souls believed. He preached far more than that. And there were some that laughed, no doubt, some that scoffed, some that sneered at him and thought how foolish that he could be to waste his time on a vessel that was supposed to save them from something they had never heard of, from something they had never seen, from something they had never felt. Oh, why would a man be so foolish as to build a vessel to save them from something they had never even seen or witnessed themselves. But Noah continued anyway, didn't he? And I don't know, maybe he had neighbors, maybe he had other family. The Bible says just him and his wife and his three boys and their wives, if I'm not mistaken, got on the ark. The Bible doesn't say that Noah had a brother or a sister or a mother or a dad that was living, but he didn't just pop up. Surely he must have had some other relatives. And whenever the ark set sail, I'm sure there was just a little tinge of hurt on the inside that there was only eight that believed you. But let me just preach this to you. It's going to do something that we've never seen in our lifetime one day. It's going to rain fire and brimstone.
Amen.
You may not have seen it. You may not have felt the heat. Now, Bible readers, is this right? I believe the Bible says that this place will melt with a fervent heat, even the very elements thereof. So you see, it is going to rain. We've seen the rain fall from the sky. In Noah's day, the water came up in a mist and watered the plants and the flowers and the trees. They had never seen rain fall from the sky. I've never seen fire and brimstone, but I sure want to be in a place of safety when it does.
Amen.
I've never seen fire and brimstone. I wasn't there whenever Sodom and Gomorrah was destroyed. But I'm sure those people, when the fire fell, wanted a place of peace and safety. Noah built an ark in his day, and it saved one family. We're here today inside the ark of safety. It's going to rain fire and brimstone, and if you want to avoid that, if you want to avoid destruction, there's only one way. Get in to the ark.
Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
A doorkeeper. So Noah built. He used gopher wood.
Yeah.
I tried to find out what gopher wood was. Some scientists thought it might be cypress, but they couldn't pinpoint it. It's a mysterious kind of wood. No scientist has ever really been able to say definitively, this is what Noah was talking about. Guess what our ark is built of? It's built of a peculiar people.
That's right.
Oh, it's built of a royal priesthood. It's built of a chosen generation. And I'm here to tell you, you may put your trust, some men trust in chariots, some in horses, but we will remember the name of the Lord. I'm telling you, the only ark of safety, whenever the fire falls that you can get in, is the church of the living God.
Amen.
So Noah built his ark.
Yeah.
And they laughed at him, no doubt. But he built on anyway.
Mm-hmm.
The world laughs at us today and says, that's old fashioned, that's old timey, and we don't need that. They will when the fire falls.
Amen.
All right. Every dimension, the type of wood, the rooms, everything, a window. You know why the ark had to have a window? It needed to have a ray of hope. A place for the sunshine to shine. And he built a door. So you might say Noah became the doorkeeper. He built that ark, and if I read it correctly, after Noah got the ark built, there was a week's time, a span of a week, where God gave out the call, and animals came two by two, and he had some clean animals that came by seven, but the animals that we think of and the tradition that we've heard of this story is that the animals came two by two. And you know what Noah did as the animals came and they got on the ark? He kept the door.
Yeah.
He held it open. And you might think of the little rabbits hopping up and hopping into the ark, and this is just conjecture on my part, so you ride with me for a minute. You might think of the dogs and of the, some of you may be cat people, and you might think of the cats that came two by two. But that wasn't the only kind of animal that got on the ark, was there? We have alligators. They must have been on the ark.
Me.
And they can be ornery, and they've got sharp teeth, and they can be dangerous to be around. And Noah may have thought twice, but he kept the door open. They might not have been the kind of animal that he wanted on there, but he kept the door open so that they could be saved.
That's right.
We think about the flies, and I think about Noah as he's standing there with the door open and the mosquitoes, and maybe one of them buzzed in his ear, and he wondered why, but God had a purpose and a reason, so he kept the door open.
Amen.
So that they could get in. It's not our, thank you, Lord. It's not our reason. It's not our purpose to try to think about who deserves to be in the ark of safety. It's our job to keep the door open.
Amen.
Amen. Bless him, Lord.
I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of the Lord. You know, just not anybody can keep the door. And you have to be in a certain position to keep the door open. At school, I've got a wooden block shaped like a triangle. And I can put that block in front of the door, but if it's not in the right shape, if it's not in the right place, the weight of the door itself will push the block and the door will shut anyway. But when I take that doorstop and I take my foot and I take the corner of that wood block and I put it up and under the door at just the right place, the door will stay open. Lord, help me to be in the right position. Help me, Lord, to be in a way that you can use me to keep the door open.
Amen.
Amen.
I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of the Lord. You say, oh, I'd rather be the pastor. I'd rather be the deacon. I'd rather be the song leader. I'd rather be the Sunday school teacher. Let me tell you something. Nobody's more important than the doorkeeper. I try my best to love on you, to check on you, to do what I can do to help you. But I have never met your children to my knowledge. So they're not going to come because I'm here. But you can open the door.
Right.
You can make a way where they can come through the door.
Yes.
Now, preacher, what is the door? And why does that matter? Well, let's go to the New Testament. You know what Jesus said? He said, I am the door.
Amen.
He said, I am the door of the sheep. Anybody that come in through the door shall be saved.
Amen.
The only way to safety is through the door. That's why the doorkeeper is so important. If we don't keep the door open, somebody will be lost. Somebody won't be saved. And in this day of trouble, when evil is on every hand, and we have violence even in our community here in the last little while, I'm here to tell you today, it's vital. It's the most important thing you've ever done is to be a doorkeeper.
Amen. Amen.
I've told this little story before, I'm sure, and I'll try not to be too long. When I was a teenager, probably about Jared's age, Mom took us and we went to a relative's house. And we knocked on the door. And you could hear somebody on the inside. And we knocked again. Nobody came, and we knocked again, and nobody came. And you know what we did eventually? We got in the car and we left. This is before the days of cell phones. Because we got the picture. We weren't welcome. Mm-hmm. What are you saying when you don't do the job and the door is not open? This should be a place.
Bless.
Some of you won't like this.
Bless him more.
This should be a place that it doesn't matter what you smell like.
Amen.
The door should be open.
Amen. Amen.
This should be a place that no matter what your makeup looks like.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you preach to them women. Let me tell you something. I have boys in my class that wear it. But if they want to come to church, I'm going to do my best to hold the door open.
Yes. Amen. 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 Amen.
Yeah, come on.
Bless you.
It should matter how many times you've poked holes in your skin. How many piercings you've got. It's not my job to look at you.
That's right, Mike. Come on, preach it.
And judge you worthy or unworthy.
That's right.
It's my job just to keep the door open and say, come on in. I've got something for you. I'd rather be a doorkeeper.
Amen.
You think a doorkeeper's not important? Right. I heard Marty's lesson today about whenever they came down and took Judah captive. Mm-hmm. You know the first people that the Babylonians took, the captain of the guard Babylonian, they went into Judah, and the first people that they got out of there was the priest, the preachers. They got them out of there. Because they didn't want hope to be spread. They didn't want anybody to hear that there was a mighty God that could deliver them. They took the preachers out. That's the first group of people that they came and they got. You know who was next? The doorkeeper. You know what the world wants to do? They want to shut the door. I used to hear preachers preach that if the Satan had his way, he'd make a backer bar down these churches. Let me tell you something. They don't have to do that. All they have to do is get us to the point where we're cold and indifferent and we close the door.
Amen.
If we do that, our church will dwindle. It'll eventually die and we'll not see anybody else saved. It's vital. It's the most important thing you'll do in your lifetime is to keep the door open. When you're grumpy and grippy and your heart's not in it, the hinges might need a little oil because they're creaking because the door's closed.
Yep.
A day in thy court is better than 1,000.
Mm-hmm.
I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of the Lord than dwell in the tents of the wicked.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, friend. So Noah did what God told him to do. And when all was said and done, let's go back to the 2:2 for just a minute. I promise you it won't be more than 10 minutes.
Bless you.
Let's go back to the 2:2 for just a minute.
Bless you.
Noah didn't have to take a rope. Lasso the giraffe. He didn't have to get down in the water hole
Mm-mm.
and wrestle the hippopotamus.
Mm-hmm.
All Noah had to do was open the door.
Amen.
And God did the drawing.
Yeah.
No matter what kind of beast it was, no matter how foul it was, no matter how vicious it was, no matter how dangerous it was, as Satan told you, your folks has gone too far.
Yeah.
He'll tell them that too. He'll tell them they've gone too far. They can't be redeemed. There's nothing savable about them. They've done too much.
Yeah.
Let me tell you something. Well, as long as we keep the door open, Jesus can save.
Amen. Amen.
It don't matter how vicious and mean and vile they are. If Jesus gets a hold of them, he can clean them up on the inside and the outside will take care of itself.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Thank you.
That's right.
All our job is to be the doorkeeper.
Amen.
How'd I be the doorkeeper? I serve a risen Savior.
He's in the world.
You know where I'm going? He's in the world today. What's that chorus say? He lives. He lives. Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me and talks with me along life's weary way. He lives. He lives. What's his purpose? Salvation to impart. You ask me how I know he lives. He lives within my heart. You see, I'm a doorkeeper. You're a doorkeeper. We can't take him with us wherever we go. The world may come crashing down on you. Oh, listen, sometimes being that little scotch, being that little part that keeps the door open might get hard. When it gets hard, and I know it's been hard for you in the past few months, when it gets hard, lean on the door.
Praise the Lord.
He never promised you things would be all happy all the time.
Amen.
He never promised you it'd be all joy. He never promised you it'd be easy. But you know what he did say? He said, wherever we went, this is just my way of, I'm going to rephrase it a little bit. You know what Scripture really says. Wherever I go, I've got the door with me. He said, lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the world. I'd rather be a doorkeeper. All right. Noah had built an ark. Noah had made a gangplank, I guess is what it's called. A walkway to get onto the ark. Noah had built the door, opened the door. Did you ever think about this? Before you got into the ark of safety, somebody was keeping the door for you. Jay Lewis or Bonnie, Hack Wilson or Jen Wilson, Mike Lewis, or his wife may have been the ones that kept the door open long before you ever got here.
Amen.
You are to thank God for the doorkeepers that the Lord has placed in your life. They kept the door open so that you could be here.
Yeah.
And keep the door open. Now, I guess Bobby and Keith's probably the youngest deacons we got. And apart from those two, all our other deacons have made it to 70 or better, I suppose. I hope they're around for another 20 years. But if they're not, somebody's going to have to keep the door open. Somebody's going to have to keep on for the Lord. I've got a grandchild. Juanita, you've got great-grandchildren. Who knows, Marvin, you and Joanne may have a grandchild one day. You know what they're going to need? Salvation. So God help us if we have folks that help keep the door open. All right. In a week's time, God called, and every beast and every animal that was supposed to be on that ark got on.
That's right.
And Noah and his family got on. Just one family out of 120 years preaching.
Yeah.
Did you know? I don't know how long it's been. I guess it was about 2,000 years before the crucifixion, close to it. 2,000 plus years since the crucifixion, And I don't know how long time will go on, but when all is said and done, and the church leaves, only one family will be on it.
Amen.
Amen.
Won't be the strangers. Won't be the Costners. It won't be the Holtz. It won't be the Dykes. But I'm glad his blood is on my soul.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
I'm glad to be a part. I'm the least little one. That's me right there. That's me right there. I'm the least of them. But I'm glad to be a part of the family of God.
Amen.
That's who's going to be in the ark of safety. That's going to be who goes home with the church. Is the family of God.
Amen.
Amen.
Listen, Noah had built the ark. You may be here today and you put years into this church and tried to build it, tried to win people, tried your best to help people along life's way. Noah spent 120 years. That's a long time, isn't it? And then he stood with the door open as the ark filled. He watched each and every one come in. And he knew as he stood there with the door open as they came in, they were going to be saved. They were there and they were going to live. If we want our people to live, if we want them to be saved from that awful place called hell, let's keep the door open. But you know what? After that week was up, something happened that Noah couldn't control. He had built the ark. He had picked out every piece of gopher wood to put in the ark. He had built each room. And if you've ever been up there to Kentucky, if you've not been, I'd encourage you to go. It's as close to the Bible as we can figure out. It comes up with ways that the animals were kept and the animals were fed and things like that that I had never thought of. But you see, Noah had put all kinds of thought. He had prayed and he had let God lead and direct him. But one day something happened that Noah couldn't control. After all those years, everything Noah had done, him standing there with the door open and the animals and the beast and the souls coming on board, God shut the door.
Amen.
There'll be a day when time shall be no more.
That's right.
There'll be a day when mercy will have ended.
That's right.
Amen.
There'll be a day when men will run to the rocks and the mountains and cry on them to hide them from the face of him that's there. There'll be a day when atheists, when agnostics, when men that says there is no God, when men that has ignored him all these years, and I preached Wednesday night about the folks that drive 25E, they pass by the church coming and going, and it never crosses their mind that they might need to go inside this place. I'm here to tell you today, there'll be a day when every knee shall bow, when every tongue shall confess that he's King of Kings and Lord of Lords to the glory of God the Father. I'm here to tell you, if you have not entered into the ark, listen, I love this church. I love you people. I love Justin. Got saved. You're going to be baptized here in a week or so. But Justin, just being baptized is not enough. You have to experience salvation like you testified of.
Amen.
And that's what gets you into the ark of safety. Being a member of Dutch Bottoms Baptist Church, I love Debbie. She's our church clerk. She does a good job. But God's not going to call Debbie on the telephone or speak to her heart and say, send me your membership rolls. That's not what's going to get you in. You must be born again. You got to be saved by the grace of God. And the only way when the fire falls that you're going to be saved is if you've been born by the Spirit and you've been baptized in the fire, the water. I'm here to tell you today, you must be born again. That's the only way to go to heaven. Had lots of testimonies this morning. Request. Pray for my loved one. And you know what you need to do? Keep the door open.
Amen.
Keep the door open. You know what Satan would have you to do? In a matter of seconds. You know what this is full of? Deadly poison. In a matter of seconds, he'd have you open your mouth and slam the door shut with that thing that's inside of it. Mm-hmm. Right there. Kill every bit of influence you've ever had over that one you've prayed so hard for all these years. Let me give you this. When they speak all, I wish I could quote it exactly. When they speak all manner of evil against you falsely for my name's sake, run your mouth right back at them. No, that's not what it says, is it? Mm-hmm. Rejoice mm-hmm. and be exceedingly glad, for great mm-hmm. is your reward in heaven. Some of you may not understand that. You know what we're supposed to do? And to my knowledge, Philip loves me with all his heart. He's never said a word to me out of the way whatsoever. But you know what I'm supposed to do, and you know what he's supposed to do? We just love each other anyway. Yeah. We just love each other anyway. There's not a one of us that's not had a bad day.
Right.
Not a one of us that in an instant of weakness has said words we regret just as soon as they come out of our mouth. Mm-hmm. But you can't take them back.
Right.
So love each other anyway. I may be inside the ark of safety. You may be inside the ark of safety, but there might be somebody watching that's not.
Right.
Amen.
God forbid we shut the door.
Amen.
Yeah. Surely this is it. We sang glory, glory, glory. Some of you were saved on Wednesday. Is that right?
Mm-hmm.
Some of you were saved on Wednesday?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah? Some of you were saved on Thursday, right? Some of you were saved on Friday. Is that right? Would you have still been saved if doorkeepers only came to the church on Sunday? You see, somebody loved you enough to keep the door open on a Wednesday night. Somebody loved you enough to keep the door open on a Thursday night. Somebody loved you enough to go to every night of the revival and sacrifice their time and pray their heart out to keep the door open so that you could be saved on a Friday night.
Amen.
On a Saturday night, on a Monday night, on a Tuesday night.
Amen.
Listen, what I want is unimportant. What God wants from me should take first priority.
Amen. Amen.
We need to do all we can do to keep the door open. For a day in thy courts is better than 1,000. I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of wickedness.